This is Billy Brim coming to you with the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. When Jesus, just before he ascended, he was on the Mount of Olives. He told his followers not to leave Jerusalem until they received the promise of the Spirit that God had given. He told them, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you." They went to the upper room, stayed there something less than 10 days, and on the day of Pentecost, we know about the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that came, and how they spoke with other tongues, how they went down into the streets, and they spoke the wonderful works of God. But some thought they were drunken. And Peter stood up and preached, and he said, "These are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy," and we go on with the prophecy. Now, back in Joel, the prophecy that he is quoting, Joel also prophesies, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion," this is in chapter 2, "and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month." Now, there are three different words used for rain here. And we see a former rain, we see a latter rain, and then we see both of the rains together. Now, these are types of the Holy Spirit. We know it is because Peter said when it happened, this is what Joel prophesied. So these rains are a type of the Holy Spirit's outpouring. The former rain outpouring came in Acts chapter 2. Peter says it did. The latter rain outpouring came at the beginning of the 20th century in Russia and in Kansas and at Azusa Street. The Azusa Street revival touched the whole world in the years 1906 to 1909. But the Bible says in James chapter 7, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman," that means farmer, "waits for the precious fruit of the earth." And that's the Father. He's the farmer, the husbandman. We know that from John 15. "Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until it receives the early and latter rain." God is the farmer. Earth is the field. The precious fruit of the earth are people. "Be also patient. Establish yourselves, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." So it says here that the Lord has patience. The Father, God, has patience for the fruit of the earth being fulfilled and being brought forth until it receives the early and latter rain together. So now I've been reading to you this book. They told me their stories from what happened at Azusa Street. And we ended yesterday by saying, reading where Brother Tommy said, "I pray the prayer," and he talked to those young people from Azusa Street. These are their stories. He said, "I pray the prayer my dear friends prayed, that soon we will see Brother Seymour's prophecy fulfilled and the greatest visitation of God ever known to man fall fresh in this world. Charles Parham also prophesied that another great revival would happen in about 100 years. Seymour made the prophecy around 1909 or 1910. And his prophecy probably came after Parham's. I think Parham's was earlier. But any way you look at it, we are around 100 years. Today, we begin on page 107. Meet Sister Dundee, who was age 22 at the time of the Azusa outpouring. Every miracle at Azusa Street was a time for rejoicing. 24 hours a day, the warehouse was full of people celebrating over the mighty movement of God. As the blind were given sight, the crippled were able to walk, the sick were made whole, and the diseased were made whole. The thought that God visited us in a barn to introduce his son and revisited us through the Shekinah glory in a warehouse that was once a stable confounds the minds of scholars and skeptics. These miracles were happening in an old rundown church that had been abandoned and once used to house animals. By the time the building was rented for the revival meetings, it wasn't even fit for animals. We keep building great temples and cathedrals with lavish decorations and furnishings, and he keeps showing up in the most humble of dwellings. Well, folks, he can also show up in the greatest cathedral and the biggest church we have on earth. This is Billy Brim talking. There were just other things that were happening at that time, and there will be other things at the time of the Azusa, of our outpouring. For over 3 years at Azusa, there was much to rejoice about, but nothing more precious than the healing of little children, his little children. What gives us more joy and grateful hearts than to see a little child restored? A dear saint of Azusa, whom I had the honor to know, understood, and experienced such joy over and over again as she was led to seek out the little children and assist in bringing healing to their sick or broken bodies. Sister Dundee had been around Pisgah since the years of Dr. Yoakum. She even had a grandson, Teddy, who lived with Brother Smith and his family. Now, Brother Smith is the head of Pisgah at the time that Brother Tommy lives there. While I was at Pisgah, she remarried. I often thought about her new husband's devotion to Sister Dundee and how they were such a beautiful, sweet couple. I also was kind of partial to him because he would take Teddy and me to eat breakfast at a lot of the better restaurants. Sister Dundee was close to 80 years old when I met her. Her hair, black with a bit of gray, was pulled back into a glory bun. Italian by birth, Sister Dundee was a very quiet, sweet woman. She wore gold-rimmed glasses that hung or slid down to the end of her nose. Like Sister Carney, she wore those small granny boots with the hooks and eyelets. She was very healthy for her age and very well-spoken. She had experienced all kinds of miracles at Azusa, but I would have to coax and pull the stories out of her. When she was at Azusa, she liked being around Sister Carney and adored Brother Anderson's relationships that continued at Pisgah. When I went to her home to hear her stories, her husband would sit on the floor right next to me, his face beaming. He was just as excited as I was because he couldn't get her to tell him those stories when they were by themselves. Sister Dundee began her stories by telling about the crippled child on crutches, about 7 or 8 years old, brought to the meeting by her mother. The child had normal-sized legs but wore braces and needed crutches to walk. The child told Sister Dundee that she had been prayed for before, but nothing had happened to her. Sister Dundee sat down and talked to her and explained that if she got healed, it would bring great glory to Jesus. She told the child, "You are supposed to get healed at Azusa." The little girl listened to her and said, "Okay, pray for me." Sister Dundee asked, "Has anyone ever taken your braces off before they prayed for you?" "No." Sister Dundee said, "Well, that needs to stop." Together they took the braces off the little girl while she was sitting down, and then Sister Dundee took the braces and crutches over to the other side of the room and came back to her. She gently smiled at her and said, "Now you can't get those back because I won't bring them back to you, and I will keep your mother busy so she can't get them for you. You're just going to have to get healed. Darling, we've got to glorify Jesus." "It would break his heart if you didn't get healed." Tears welled up in the little girl's eyes as she almost started to cry. Sister Dundee told her, "All that is left for us to do is to start praying and obey Jesus, and you will be healed. Then Jesus will get the glory." The little girl agreed, and Sister Dundee prayed for her. Within a few minutes, the little girl said that she felt something in her feet, something she'd never felt before. Sister Dundee told her to stand up and to start trying to move her feet. The little girl said, "I can't." Sister Dundee gently responded, "You need to try." You could see the excitement rise as the little girl started moving her feet up and down. She looked down and started doing a dance like a little stomp. Then she started screaming that she was healed. Sister Dundee turned her loose and she went dancing and stomping all over the warehouse. This time, the little girl was healed. Sister Dundee loved picking out children and ministering to them. The younger the child, the better she liked it. Her next story was the most tender of all the Azusa stories. She went to a child not yet a year old with a bow in its neck. The baby could not cry or make any noise, but the mother said that she could tell that the baby was in pain. Sister Dundee asked the mother if she could pray for her baby. When the mother agreed, she took the child from her, putting the baby blanket over its head so that the mother couldn't see. She prayed for the baby and tried not to get too excited because she was holding the baby in her arms. She had to contain herself when the bow started to disappear. She told me that she had to make sure not to throw a Pentecostal fit. When the bow straightened out, Sister Dundee just stood there crying as the baby looked up at her and smiled. Finally, she heard the mother ask what was happening. "Why are you crying? Is there something wrong with my baby?" Sister Dundee was standing there loving on the child as she pulled the blanket back and showed the smiling, healed baby to her mother. I asked, "Did you give the baby back to her mother?" Sister Dundee said, "Oh, Lord, no, I couldn't have caught that mother if I'd wanted to. The mother just went running around rejoicing." I asked about the father, and she said that the father wasn't at the meeting, but Sister Dundee had met him later. The mother took the baby back home and showed the father his healed baby. Not only did he come to the revival after that, he got saved and became the pastor of one of the largest churches in the Los Angeles area for about 35-plus years. Sister Dundee also told of a little boy that had to have his head and body strapped into his wheelchair to hold him up. She went over to the boy and asked his parents what is wrong with him. The parents were not exactly sure. He had some kind of paralysis, but could breathe on his own. She told them, "Well, this is good, for the Lord's name will be glorified. But we can't just pray for him and leave him tied up here." Sister Dundee started undoing the straps on his neck and told his parents to hold his body up. After she got everything loosened, she laid her hands on him and cried out, "In the name of Jesus Christ, be made perfectly whole." Sister Dundee said that immediately the boy jerked and then wanted to get down to play. I asked, "How old was he?" Sister Dundee said, "Maybe he was 6. I said, "You mean a little bitty kid?" Sister Dundee just smiled and said, "Yes, a little bitty kid." I no longer had the words, "In the name of Jesus," out, and he was healed. Sister Dundee told me that she got to see this boy many times over the next 3 years during the revival, and about a year after that. The little boy affectionately called Sister Dundee Mammy from the time of his healing up until the last time she saw him. There were other miracles Sister Dundee participated in, some of them with adults. She too loved the Shekinah glory and loved the music that fell on the people as they sang in the Spirit. She described the music as like a choir from heaven coming down to join in the singing. She loved it all, but nothing compared to the love she felt for the children in need of a miracle. Throughout her life, including while she was at Pisgah, God used her to touch the lives of children with miracles and healings. Oh, folks, don't you long for that? Don't you see little babies and children? And you know that Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." And he wants to come unto the little children. And we have to take a good, strong look at ourselves. Do we walk in love? Do we want God's glory? Do we want the manifestation of his presence? Or do we want to get out and eat and go home and watch something on television? I'm not against these things. I'm a sports fan myself. But folks, we have to put God, we have to yearn and want God and want his presence more than anything else. And that's why we're making these books available to you. You can get They Told Me Their Stories for $10 from us. And I've been reading it for weeks now. You can get it yourself. Buy extra copies and give to others so that we'll have many people longing for the manifestation of God. We also have Brother Hagin's book, Tongues, which gives you the biblical basis for all these things we're reading about, and They Told Me Their Stories. Each book is made available for $10, or you can get both, of course, for $20, plus mailing. You'll have to pay the mailing costs. If you can send us an offering for the radio ministry, we'd really appreciate it. We want to know you're out there. Call us at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. This is Billy Brim saying Shalom.